Let's go, if you will, to the book of 1 Chronicles tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And it's easy to find. It's right before 2 Chronicles. So you can find that without any problem. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading there in verse 23. It's Sunday night. It's okay to have a good time in the house of the Lord. It's okay to enjoy yourself, all right? So we're going to encourage you a little bit to do that. Verse 23 says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the people, ye kindreds of the earth, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering." Some people get staggered right there. "And come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." And all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. Now, I don't know about your Bible. In my Bible, there is a little subheading right above verse 7 that says this is the Psalm of Thanksgiving. And verse 7 does say, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." And he gives us these words, and we've read a passage out of them. But I want you to look at the last verse we read, verse 36, where the Bible said, "And all the people said, Amen." I want you to look at that one little word, Amen. That word shows up about 72 different verses in the Bible. Now, it shows up more than 72 times because in several of those verses, it says Amen and Amen. This is a psalm of praise to God. And the Bible says when the people heard this psalm, they all said, Amen. Amen. Every one of them. Hey, I just want to say this. It's good to say amen. Good to say amen. I'll be honest. I like to hear it. I like to hear it. I like to say it. When I'm preaching, I enjoy it when people say amen. Now, I ain't going to quit preaching if you don't say amen, so don't think we'll knock it off. He'll quit if we'll quit. Not going to do that. I've heard preachers, I especially remember Dr. Curtis Hudson. He'd be preaching, and he would, in his preaching, if he'd reach up here and do this. Now, if you didn't know him and you never heard him preach, what he was saying was, "Hey, when I get right there, you say amen, all right?" And so he'd be preaching, and he'd reach up there, and folks would say amen. They knew him, you know. Some preachers encourage it, and they'll even ask this question, "Can you say amen?" Others will say, "Let me hear an amen." And somebody will be preaching, "Say amen right there," all right? And some get carried away and amen their own preaching, you know. I've heard guys preaching, and that literally be preaching, and that nothing happened, they'd stand right there and look up and say, "That's right, preacher, amen," you know. Amen. Sometimes you got to give your own amens if nobody will say it, you know. Any good preacher, maybe even any mediocre preacher, likes to hear folks say amen. As I've said, though, if you don't say amen, I'll keep preaching, all right? And it's not dependent on that. But unfortunately, I believe we've seen a little bit of a decline of that in the practice of saying amen a lot across our land. And it's maybe a part of a broader decline in churches. We've moved from hymns to rock music. So many churches have gotten rid of the old hymn. And they no longer sing them in church. And so what they do now is they organize a special hymn sing, not as a service. And I've listened to them on YouTube. And a guy get up and said, "Man, you know, we've quit singing these grand old songs." And I say, "You're just going to the wrong church. You're just going to the wrong place." But so many have, and we've declined because we quit singing these old hymns, and we've shifted over to rock music. We shifted over to what is called praise and worship music, and a lot of repetition, a lot of repetition. I went to a meeting one time. And they sang that kind of music. Now, I can't sing that kind of music. You say, why not? Because don't know when it's over. I don't know. And Ms. Noble said, sometimes referred to as 7-Eleven songs. Seven words repeated 11 times. Now, you're not going to believe this, but this service I went to, they had a screen up and the words on the screen. And I don't remember now, all right? It's been 10 years ago or more. I don't remember now the exact number of how many words there were, but I counted the number of different words that were sung and put on that screen. And it wasn't, I know it wasn't over 20 words. And I timed the song on my watch. 15 minutes. They repeated those same words. Over and over. And I said, I can't sing that because I don't know when they know they're done. You know, if it's seven words repeated 11 times, I'll run out of fingers before we get there. When I was a kid, we'd play hide and go seek. And it'd be, you count to 100 and then you come hunt us. So we got, you can count to 10 quicker. If you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, that's easier than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. If you count to 10 times, you can do it quicker. But I don't know how many times that, you know, they sing those same words. I don't know. How do they know when they're done? You say you're making fun. I am making fun, but I'm serious. I don't have any idea how you know you're finished with them, all right? Hey, so we've moved from hymns to that kind of stuff. We've moved oftentimes from the fear of God to absolute foolishness. Foolishness. We've moved from holiness to Hollywood. We've moved from, by that I mean from holiness and what it ought to be to entertainment. We've moved from praise to performance. I've got a preacher friend. I was at his church one day and we were talking and he said, "Well, the stage," I said, "wait a minute." I said, "That ain't a stage, boy. He's a younger guy. I've known him since he's a kid. Knew his daddy. Knew his grandpa. And I said, that's not a stage. That's a platform. A stage is for performances. A platform is for preaching." And, you know, hey, but we've gotten away from that. We've even gotten away in preaching services from amens to applause. And people, rather than amening the message, they applaud. Hey, I think that word amen is important. So I won't preach tonight on time to say amen, all right? Just a message. That word amen's got several meanings. Take your Bible to Psalm 41. 41 verse 13. And that word is used in several different ways in the scripture, all right? And we'll try to look at some of that and show you what I mean. Psalm 41, if you will, Look in verse 13. The Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting." Amen and amen. All right. Sometimes that word amen is a declaration of agreement. All right. And in those situations, it means something along the line of, "I believe that." All right. Or, "That's the truth. That's the truth. I believe that." A declaration of agreement. And it said, and I believe it's used that way right here at the end of this psalm. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting." I believe that, and that's the truth. That is the truth, all right? When it's used that way, it shows a couple of things. One, it shows that we're in fellowship with the Lord. We're in fellowship with the Lord, all right? You say, "Well, how you figure that?" Well, Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Agreed. When the preacher is preaching and he's preaching the truth, then it's okay every now and then to say, "Amen. Amen." That's the truth. That's the truth. Hey, by the way, you don't have to be in agreement when you say that's the truth. But it makes you in agreement with the truth, all right? That's it. Hey, that's the truth. That is the truth. Man, I believe it. And we're in fellowship with the Lord. It's a good thing to express the fact you're in fellowship with God. You know, I think it's a lot better for you to say amen than it is for you to fold your arms and shake your head no. You know? It ought not to be that way. It ought to be instead, amen. Hey, that's the truth. I agree with that. I believe that. Believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that's one of the times when the preacher's preaching and I get involved there, I'll say amen. Why? Because I want you to know I believe that. I believe that. It's a good thing. Hey, when people come to church, that are not used to preaching of the Word of God, and especially not used to strong Bible preaching that's right down the line, it's a good thing when folks in the congregation say amen. Because they realize, well, it's not just that dude standing behind that pulpit. That's other folks here that say that's the truth. That's the truth. It's other people expressing the fact they're in agreement. They're in agreement. Nobody says amen this way. Amen! We don't say amen like that, all right? Just don't do it, okay? It's in agreement. I'm with you. That's the truth, all right? And by the way, not only does it indicate agreement and show you're in fellowship with the Lord, but it also indicates and shows that you're following the message. You're right there with it, all right? When you say amen during a sermon, the preacher takes it. Here's the way this preacher takes it. He takes it to mean that you understand. You understand and you agree with what's going on, all right? Now, if he doesn't hear one, if he doesn't hear any amens, he may begin to wonder, either you don't understand or you don't agree. You know, and there's an indication there. I don't understand what you're talking about. Got that puzzled look. But if it's amen, hey, sometimes a hearty amen is a good thing. Sometimes you can't give that, and really what you have to give is a dejected, "Oh me." Because I'm under conviction. Hey, you nailed me. You nailed my hide right there, preacher. Nothing wrong with us, you know. It's a good thing to say amen. That it's time to say amen when you won't express the fact, hey, that's the truth. I'm in agreement. I agree with what you're saying, all right? Good thing. Secondly, that word amen is also, I think it can indicate an expression of desire. A desire. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, when it's used that way, I believe that it means this: let it be. Or let it be so. Man, it's a desire. And maybe that's probably the most common usage of the word amen in the scripture. Go to Numbers chapter 5, all right? Numbers chapter 5 in your Bible. Numbers chapter 5. Just Check it out, all right? Numbers chapter 5, look at verse 22. By the way, this is the first time you find in your Bible the word amen. First time in the Bible the word amen shows up. If I would have had you guess where it would have showed up, I don't think most of us would have guessed Numbers. But Numbers chapter 5, look if you will in verse 22. And this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. Now that's probably not where you would have thought we'd be amening. Hey, that water's going to make your belly swell. Going to make your thigh rot. Well, amen. Not usually where we'd think of it, all right? But what that is an indication of that person saying, let it be so. Let it be so. That's the first time it's in the Word of God, and that's the meaning there. Let that be so. You said, well, if that's the first place, where's the last place? Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. It is an indication of desire, all right? Not one's an indication of agreement. This is an indication of desire. We have a desire that, man, that might be so. Revelation chapter 22. Look, if you will, verse 21. The Bible said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let it be so. All right? Hey, you know what? We use that word. We use it here with that meaning when we pray. When we pray. The reason we say amen is not just, that doesn't mean the end. I think a lot of people believe, well, amen means the end. No, it doesn't. We use that word in prayer. We've prayed. We've asked God for things. We've called upon Him. We've called upon His name. We have some needs. And we pray to Him, and then we say, amen. It's really part of the whole request, Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. Lord, don't just let these words pass off, but Lord, let it be so. Answer that. Give us what we're praying for. Give us what we're asking for. So that word is used as an indication, an expression of desire. We want that. We want that. I think it also, we use it that way in preaching. In preaching, a lot of preaching. I know a lot of the times I've been and I've said amen. Really, I'm saying, let it be so. Let it be so. That's it right there. Just like that. Let it be so. You know, and so many times we look at it and we use that little old word, amen. And we ought to use it. And we ought to, because there's some things we ought to desire. Hey, if preacher's preaching the Word of God and he's preaching the promise of God, we ought to be saying amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. So that little word, amen, is an expression of appreciation, all right? An expression of appreciation and agreement. It's also an expression of desire, but it's also an expression of delight. You see what I mean? As in, I like that. I like that. You said, well, how's that in the Bible? Well, let's go to Nehemiah, would you? Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. It's right in front of Esther. It's right after Genesis. I said that, and I was looking at 1 Kings. I forgot where Ezra and Nehemiah are. May have to say to some of you, if you find it, stand up and read it, all right? Nehemiah chapter 8, would you? Nehemiah chapter 8, look at verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That amen is an expression of I like that. I like that. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, And all the people, man, they had heard what he'd said, and he was read out of the law, and those people together said, amen. We like that. We like that. Look back in Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 13. Also, I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus he be shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. What they were doing was giving an expression of delight, saying, man, I like that. I'm with you. I'm with you. Hey, well, some of the times when we amen preaching, it's because we like what we heard. We don't usually amen what we don't like, okay? That's not going to bring out the amens. You said, well, in what instance? Hey, we say amen to bless the Lord and acknowledge the fact that we've been blessed. Hey, we're blessed by His grace and salvation. What a joy it is, what a delight it is to know we're born again. What a delight it is to know He paid the price. I trusted Him. I called upon Him. He saved my soul. Oh, praise His name. Hey, I like that. Man, I like that a lot. I like the fact that our Lord put Himself as the payment for our sin. I don't understand it, but I like it. I like that. And if somebody will be preaching on the freeness and the grace of God and salvation, I'm ready to say amen to that. I'm ready to say amen to that. Hey, we're blessed by His goodness in supplying our need, taking care of us. He's given you what you need. It's been poured out upon you. You've been blessed by the good hand of God. And I believe it's in Nehemiah where Nehemiah says, the good hand of God was upon us. The good hand of God, not my God, maybe was upon us. What a blessing that is to thank God and to think about it and think about His provision and His goodness to us. He supplies our needs. He supplies our needs. Now, He doesn't give you everything you could possibly want because we don't need all those things we want. I usually, at a restaurant, they usually come around. You ever notice what they do? After you finished your meal, would you like dessert? You bet your bippy I would like dessert. But I don't want it. I don't want you to bring it. But I'd sure like it. That'd sure be good. I've even told them, man, I would like that peach cobbler Alamo with that scoop of ice cream on top of it. I really like that, but don't bring it. Don't bring it. Hey, man, we think about God supplying our need. He supplies our need. And you and I ought to say amen to that. Say amen to that. I don't know about you, but I've been out before and somebody would say, hey, I brought you this. And I've said, amen. Amen. Glad you did. Hey, you said, well, that wasn't God. What do you mean it wasn't God? Well, where'd you get the idea God wasn't involved in that? God moved that person to do that. So what do you say, preacher? I said, amen. We're blessed by His goodness in supplying our needs. Hey, we're blessed by His guidance, by the Spirit of God, and by the Scripture. That's worth an amen. That's worth an amen. That is worth us getting involved and saying, yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. He's done it. He's guided us. The Spirit of God is guided in life. The Scriptures have taken and guided the way for us. The Psalm says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. It's the guide. It's the guide. Keeps you there. Keeps you on the straight and narrow. That's where you need to be. Where you need to be. Man, that's worthy of an amen. Amen to that. I like that. I like that. We ought to be the people. It's time to say amen. When you like it, amen it, okay? When you amen it. But then there's maybe the most important one. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 3. The book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, look down in verse 4, would you? Revelation chapter 3, don't look at verse 4, look at verse 14. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I want you to notice there that Amen is capitalized, because that word Amen is used there for a proper name, because there is the Amen of a person. Of a person. Here's one place that every preacher ought to preach for the Amen, okay? We ought to preach for the Amen. We ought to love the Amen. We ought to love the Amen. You said, preacher, who in the world are you talking about it? Well, who's the faithful and true witness? Who's the faithful and true witness? Who's the beginning of the creation of God? Who? Hey, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to love that Amen. We ought to love that Amen. You just think about it. He's the one that I like that for sure. I like that. I want to say yes, man. I am definitely in agreement. I sure want to be in agreement with him. Sure want to be in agreement with him. There's that Amen. We ought to love the Amen. Not only should we love that Amen, but we ought to look for the Amen. We ought to look for the Amen. You say, what do you mean? Well, you ought to look for him to come. We ought to look for him to come. We ought to be looking for him. We ought to be looking for him. Now, here's our problem. We get to that point, well, he hadn't come yet. Hadn't come yet. The Bible says there'll be scoffers. In the last days, are going to say, where's the sign of his coming? He said, where is the sign of his coming? It's in this book. And that sign is his promise. I will come again. We ought to be looking for him. We ought to be looking for him. You shouldn't live a day without thinking about maybe it'll be today. Maybe it'll be today. I've prayed, Lord, I'm going to sleep now, but if you want to come before I wake up, go ahead, would you? That'll be all right, me. If you want to wake me with the sound of the trumpet, go right ahead. I'm looking for him to come. I'm looking for the Amen and the truth. I'm looking for him to come. I don't want to be caught not paying attention. We ought to look for him. That person, all right? The Amen of a person. We ought to love him. We ought to look for him. But I'll tell you this very plainly, we ought to live for him. We ought to live for that Amen. All right? We ought to live for that. Now, what other reason you got to live? What other reason you got to live? Well, my grandkids. Well, that's not, you know, it's good to enjoy them, have a big old time with them. But man, the better reason to live is to live for him. Live for him. To put it into my life to count for something. Count for something. I want to live for him. I want to honor him. Not me, but him. We ought to live for that Amen. Now, you say, well, the preacher lives for the Amen of the people. No, I hope he doesn't. You need to live for the Amen who's coming back for you. You ought to live for that, okay? Take over and let's go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, would you? I think we read 22, 21 a while ago. Well, I want you to look now, Revelation 22. Look, if you will, in verse 20. Revelation 22, 20. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I have preached from that passage of Scripture and entitled the message when the Amen came at the beginning instead of the end of the prayer. Because it's Amen and then the prayer, even so come, Lord Jesus. There's the request. Hey, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Now remember what I said that amen indicated? Now remember, yep, that's one. It's an expression of desire. Let it be so. All right, let it be so. It's an indication of delight. I like that. I like that. It is an indication, all right, an indication of agreement. It said that that's the truth, or I believe that. Agreement. You say, which one is that amen in verse 20? Yes. Sure is. He which testifies, surely I come quickly. Amen. I'm in agreement. Just do that, all right? Well, it's an expression of desire. Let it be so. I want him to come. I want him to come. Man, I get a little tired of this old world. I get tired of seeing the direction it's going. I get tired of them mocking the name of my Savior. So, yeah, let it be so. It's an expression of delight. Oh, I'd sure like it if he'd come. I'd sure like it if he'd come. He said, no, you said there's the amen of a person. Well, that's the person I want to come. That's the person I want to come. All right? That one that's the amen. Hey, I'm looking for him to come. I'm longing for him to come. I love that amen. And I'm going to live for him until he comes. Until he comes. Going to live for him. Going to have a testimony. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to go to the mission field to live for him. But you do need to take your life and make it count for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to do what he wants you to do. He said, what is that? Well, he wants you to give and he wants you to go, all right? I think those two words, you give and you go and you tell and you'll take care of it. You'll be busy about that. Why? Because I want that amen. When the trumpet sounds, what do you think you're going to say? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I like that. Let it be so. Now, you're going to have to say it real fast. Because we're going to be sucked out of here. The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet. Now, the world doesn't think much of that. The world thinks that, you know, you guys, y'all are a bunch of nuts. We ain't worried too much. I mean, you know, my son just amen there. I thought about this. Now, you need to be careful when the preaching's going on when you say amen. Some people amen at the wrong time. Some people amen at the wrong time. I was listening to a preacher preach the other day on YouTube. And he was really getting after it, but he was talking some about a marriage situation, and this young teenage boy sitting up on the front said, amen. And that preacher looked at him and said, shut up, you don't know anything about what I'm talking about. See, wait till you've been married a while, then you say amen right there. You need to be careful what you say amen to. You know, don't say amen when the preacher says something that's very negative. You go, amen. A man, it ought to be indicating, I'm in agreement, preacher. I'm in agreement. It ought to be an expression of our desire, let it be so. It ought to be expression of, say, boy, I like that. I like that. I sure do. We ought to live for that, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? Are you doing that tonight? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight as your children. Lord, I thank you that we find some amens in the Bible. And Lord, that's a word we ought to learn to use. We ought to learn to use it correctly. And Lord, I pray we would be careful in the using of it. But Lord, that you'd help us to maintain a testimony before the world. That other people, when they come to church, they'd hear those amens and realize, hey, there's other people who agree with what that preacher's saying. And Lord, that we might especially live for the amen of the book of Revelation.